Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mullet Cast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Today we're joined by Danny Croak. Danny is a co-founder of Coworks, Fresh Markets, and Bands on a Budget. Follow them online at coworks.com, that's C-O-W-E-R-K-S.com, and at asburyfresh.com. On Instagram at Asbury Fresh and at Coworks. What's going on, Danny?
Not much. How are you, Evan? Nice to be here or to be somewhere.
Right.
It's, I guess. We're not together.
Exactly. It is. The first thing that pops in my mind, you and I bump into each other a lot, obviously, because I'm over in a co-work facility. Haven't seen you in a few days, but have talked to you. What is it like operating businesses that maybe are hugely impacted? Like, obviously, as a landlord of rental spaces, and you were opening a new space, and then also, you know, hosting markets that don't happen anymore. How are you coping with this situation?
It's definitely like, it's definitely, as the word is used quite often nowadays, unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past years, you know, I've always like tried to talk to other people, mentors and friends and, you know, peers in business and, you know, say, hey, this is the situation I'm going through. Like, you know, try to talk it out and try to get like clarity on things. And like right now is just we're in a state where, you know, nobody's ever been through this before. So, it's really hard to navigate. But I can say that the way that we're handling this is we're trying to continue to operate, in a virtual sense. All of our employees are still employed.
Mm-hmm.
We meet, we're on a 4-day schedule right now, but, we meet twice a week on, as a team through Zoom. And then, we have little breakouts, between, different team members on different topics. You like to have a plan, but right now I can say it's nearly impossible to make a plan to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Other than to just kind of see what happens every day and try to make the best decision that you can about what you should be doing at that moment.
Right.
So that's what it's like.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's a good point, because I think if anyone tells you they know how this is going to turn out, obviously they're nuts. And it does evolve, like, sometimes on an hourly but very definitely a day by day basis. Right. So your plan constantly has to be flexible and change. I'll give you a shout out, because I know from my conversations with you and dealing with you personally, I have been very impressed that, early on in this, you were sort of looking ahead and, started wanting to share information, and you were already like, looking at how this was going to impact your business and what solutions might be out there for you.
Yeah. So Brett and I, we've never been through something like this, but we were in business in 2008 during the Great Recession. We were in business in Asbury Park, after Hurricane Sandy. And so we've had our business disrupted before. So, there's a bit of an experience there where we're like, okay, things are going to start, things that are not usual are going to start happening, you know? Right. So, yeah, a couple weeks ago, I don't think that in hindsight, we didn't know it was going to be as crazy as it is today.
Right.
But, you know, we knew something was going to happen to us, but we were going to be affected.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not in a positive way.
Right.
So
what would you share maybe that you learned from, you know, the, obviously you survived and thrived, you know, after the prior crisis, you know, what would you offer to people that you learned, and maybe for people that haven't been, like, I know people that opened a business like right, you know, like days before everything was shut down in Asbury, like a new, I have a friend that opened a new jewelry store called Marigold, that suddenly, you know, there's no one coming into shops. So like, what have you learned from surviving and thriving, you know, from prior events like Sandy?
You know, just so I can't like get way into detail about like, you know, how we operate everything, but
mm-hmm.
you know, the thing is you, if you run a business, you have to have a plan for a rainy day. Like, we've always, I shouldn't say we've always, we've in recent years, kind of when we come up with a plan for what we're going to do, we have a contingency.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have two contingencies. We try to look at things like, okay, what's the worst case scenario?
Right.
The
man multiplied by 10.
Yeah, so like we don't like live completely, like we have quite a few employees. I don't know the exact count right now, but we have full-time employees plus part-time employees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important that you make payroll and that you have a function in business, and therefore you have to really plan out what's going to happen if things go south. Now, we were kind of in that situation where, you know, we were prepared for like a bad situation.
Right.
But this in particular, yeah, it's like 10X. Like, so, you know, going back to like other cases like Sandy and the Great Recession, like, you know, credit, for instance, like, seems to in the past be like tougher to get, like getting, you know, bills that are owed to you being paid, like, you know, that slows down, stuff like that. So like, you know, the financial part of it, we're kind of prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like with Sandy, which is, you know, it's great that things like Zoom are out there and stuff like that, but like Sandy, we were all like spread out and very disconnected, and technology wasn't, you know, what it is today.
That's true.
So like, we definitely, you know, like I said before, having these two team meetings and keeping in touch and just being able to think about the spirit of your company and how everybody is, like, you know, goes a long way. And that was something, like I said, that we learned from the past, is, you know, when you're disrupted by like a disaster, which I guess you would call this, and everybody is sort of disconnected, like finding ways to keep people connected. And, you know, technology is, you know, really good right now in that sense that we can still, you know, talk and collaborate. So, you know, those are two things that I think are helping us out right now from the past. I don't know. I'm afraid to test to see how far it can go. You know, I don't want to say like, you know, I don't want to be all doom and gloom, but
right.
You know, like this, the longer this goes on, the harder it's going to be.
Sure. That's true, right? You could have a contingency that could take you through, you know, April, if that's what it's going to be. But, you know, right, what happens if we get into May and, or, you know, further and further? it is pretty crazy. So what is it in your background? Like, where did you learn these things?
Unfortunately, by doing them, like, you know, like, like being through this experience. But yeah, I, Brett and I have been in business since like 2006 when we started Bands on a Budget. And, mm-hmm. So that's like 14-ish years.
Right.
And you know, we've just been through a lot of stuff. Like, we've, every business that we've entered together, I would describe us as being green mm-hmm. in those businesses. And when I joke around and say, unfortunately, by doing it, like, you know, because there's like, there's a bit of pain that goes through, you go through by learning as you do,
right?
You know, as opposed to like, you know, maybe learning like in classes or learning, you know, working under somebody, like something like that.
Right.
And you know, a lot of it, like the other part of it, I shouldn't just say like, oh yeah, we just like, you know, go all out and just do it all ourselves. Like Brett and I are very much into, having mentors and having a network of people that we can like bounce things off of. And, you know, in a lot of situations, like we've worked through things with the help of others.
Gotcha.
And learned what we do with the help of others.
That's cool. Do you have any like business people you look up to or anyone you want to talk about?
Man, there's so many. I don't want to mention a specific person's name.
Don't want to leave anyone out.
But Evan Ballmer.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
That's right. One of them.
Yeah, I mean, if the mullet cast was around in 06, it could have saved you from so many mistakes.
You know, I'll tell you about a guy that, you know, you're in the building Junction Hall,
mm-hmm.
and there's a guy, he's on the board of Second Life Bikes. His name's Roger Boyce. You know, Brett, myself, and Second Life Bikes Incorporated own that building. You know, like that was the idea, that we were going to come together as a group and then purchase that building and turn it into what it is today, was kind of like a pipe dream. And, you know, Roger Boyce was like somebody that I've worked pretty hands-on with for mm-hmm. almost a year. And you know, he was one of those guys that, you know, he didn't do things for us, but you know, he helped open doors and helped us, you know, craft the question that we needed to answer to solve the problems. You know, he's very good, like teacher like that. And you know, he himself on that particular project didn't have all the answers of how it was going to get done, but he kind of like, you know, pushed everybody along, and like, that's, you know, that's, it's valuable to have people like that, like as an entrepreneur. So, but that's, you know, that he's just one example, but there have been so many people that have helped us throughout the years that, you know, I'm truly grateful to.
Right. Can you talk more about how that deal came together? Cause that is a cool story. I mean, was that something like you and Brett came up with and took it over to Second Life Bikes, or how did it like all sort of evolve?
So yeah, the way that I remember it is, Second Life Bikes had done a campaign to raise some money to purchase it. And they had, they had a good relationship with the previous owner of the building who was their landlord. And, you know, they had raised some money, but when we had asked Roger Boyce, you know, their board member, you know, how it was going, like, one of the concerns was that, you know, they may not be in a position to really occupy the whole building and, you know, carry that debt service, that mortgage.
Right.
So that's how the conversation kind of started. And it came together in like a bunch of pieces because there were two banks involved. Like Brett and I had received like a grant loan hybrid from the New Jersey Economic Development Authority, which didn't provide the funding to buy the building, but provided the funding to build the co-work space that's above the, you know, where your office is.
Gotcha.
That's above Second Life Bikes and High Voltage Cafe. And then, you know, there was like the idea of, you know, a for-profit business and a non-profit business, which is Second Life Bikes, coming together to form like a joint venture, and then finding like a mortgage company that was actually willing to, you know, do a deal with that type of organization that we had formed, which, you know, wasn't exactly like, it didn't make perfect sense to every single bank, you know? But we, you know, we did find one, and, you know, that's like the part of getting the financing together. The other part is like, you know, how to actually divvy up the space and how to make it work. You know, that all that stuff, you know, didn't just come, like the answers weren't just there. Like we had to really form a partnership, which is an ongoing conversation between us and High Voltage Cafe and Second Life Bikes about like how a shared space like that operates, you know?
Right.
So you have different hours and you have different uses, and while they make for like a cool place, like they don't always, you know, not everything works perfectly together. So you have to make it work and make compromises and stuff like that.
Right. I mean, for anyone that hasn't been there, you know, it's a combination of, like you said, Second Life Bikes, which is, you know, for lack of a better description, a bike shop, let's call it, you know, what you would think of, tons of bikes around, repairs going on, those kind of things. Obviously, there are a lot more than that. And then there's a cafe, High Voltage Cafe, and then there's offices up on almost like a loft type of setting. so for me, whenever a client comes in to that space, we spend like the first 10 minutes talking about, wow, this is such a cool space.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really, you know, it is a special place to work. And, you know, for me, it's a great mix of all of those worlds combining also.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you feel that way. That was, so it's been an idea that our company has been evolving towards, is to activate spaces that are underutilized. And I don't, you know, Second Life Bikes did have a utilization for it, so I shouldn't completely say it was underutilized, but, you know, there was a gap there, like that, you know, it had to become more active and produce revenue. So, you know, that's kind of where our company has been going, and, you know, to find places that aren't typically used and, you know, make them into something that is used.
Gotcha.
And hopefully like get the reaction that you just described, you know, say, oh, this is a cool idea. I really like what they did here. You know, that's a great compliment, you know, that you gave us.
Right. Yeah. And I think, I mean, in a weird way, do you have a sense that maybe that skill, is going to present more opportunity as we come out of this crisis? Because don't you think that there's going to be more of a need for exactly what you said of figuring out new ways to utilize unutilized space?
Yeah. So we did that with Bellworks, with the Fresh Markets. For anybody that hasn't been to Bellworks before, it's a 2 million square foot, mostly office space, but it has a big first level retail component, and it has a very large atrium. And every Wednesday, Fresh does an indoor market there. And, you know, it's a big chunk of space that we're able to fill up and activate on a weekly basis. And as a company, like, we love doing things like that. That's really fun. So doing events or bringing people together into a space is like, yeah, we want to keep doing more of it. And hopefully, you know, we will be able to, like, this current climate of social distancing and self-quarantine and obviously has like destroyed any type of business where people gather. So, you know, that's a tough one, but I'm, you know, hopefully, like, life will go back to normal at some point and we can continue to expand on ideas like that.
Right. Yeah, I think that's cool. I mean, I also think, you know, maybe right now you have companies that maybe were never set up for people to work remotely, things like that. Maybe some of that continues even when we get back to normal, and maybe it opens up spaces that used to be used, you know, just as offices for different things. There might be a lot more of that going on, you know?
Yeah, at Co-Works, as an example, like, it's funny, like, people haven't stopped request an office space or a place to work from. We just, for, you know, health and safety reasons, we just can't accommodate it right now. But I think that, yeah, like, more and more people have been working remote for such a, you know, 2 weeks seems like an eternity at this point.
Right.
So, you know, it's really kind of opened people's eyes up to what we do on the co-working end.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be interesting when, you know, people can actually get together again. It should be interesting what happens to our business.
Right. For sure. Have you been talking to your, Fresh vendors and, like, about what are they doing now? And I mean, do they have outlets to get their products out still? And are they sort of operating normally, or what's the impact on, like, local farmers and people like that come to your markets?
Yeah, so I'd say, like, generally everybody's been affected. Like, it's hurt sales, it's hurt their ability to do business. What we're able to do, because we're really set up to provide like an in-person experience. Like, what we've been trying to do is we've been trying to use our socials to promote vendors that are set up to do deliveries, or to do pickups, that type of stuff. There are some ideas in the works, for how we could do other operations where people could pick up, could order ahead and pick up. However, it's, you know, out of respect for the landlords and the towns in which we do markets in, and, you know, based on what they've asked us for, we haven't been able to, you know, work on some of those ideas yet to, you know, have like a curbside pickup or something like that. Like, right. There's interest in doing it. It's still a safety matter, for a lot of our venues.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
At this point, so again, it's really just trying to, you know, take a moment to promote the vendors that do come to our markets and are able to still provide something in some way.
Right. That is cool. What about on the band side? Like, obviously, most artists now are, you know, they've lost the revenue, performance revenue. And I know you did some, you know, a lot of touring business also. How has that impacted artists, and what are you seeing on that end of things?
Yeah, so we're still, like, all of our businesses have you know, taken a hit because of this. The band merchandise business, like, you know, bands are still printing merchandise, not as much as before, but there's quite a few clever bands out there that have figured out ways to do like an online performance and you know, sell their merch and generate some revenue for themselves doing that. So that, like, that is still, although it's like kind of been hurt a little bit, it's still going. The weird thing is, in that business, you know, there's multiple points in the supply chain. Like, you know, a t-shirt, for instance, is supplied by a company that warehouses blank t-shirts, and then it's screen printed at another location. You know,
right.
A lot of warehouses have, you know, been considered non-essential businesses and have had to shutter. So, like, sometimes you have a band that wants to make a particular thing on a particular color shirt, as an example, and it's just not available.
Gotcha.
At this time. So that's been a tough place to navigate as well.
That is rough. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's kind of like you said, everyone's sort of figuring it out as we go along. Like, you know, bands are doing new things and hopefully, you know, I don't know. It you know, the other question is, are deliveries even happening? You know, it's like you see things even on Amazon, who you would think is the most efficient shipper, that now are taking like weeks and weeks. So
yeah,
it's tough, but I think everyone's just got to figure out how to be creative.
Right. And that's like, it's the cool thing about, or the silver lining of all of this, is that you are seeing people get creative, like, as humans, and especially anyone who's creative or entrepreneurial, like, you're seeing people adapt and do interesting things, which is, you know, just as an observer is cool to see. So I've seen plenty of it. Like, you know, last week I've really enjoyed watching Ben from Death Cab for Cutie on Facebook doing, you know, live performances. He was doing it every day.
Right.
You know, just something simple, but like, that was like a time, like, me and my friend and I would, you know, just watch it every night, like, talk about it, and, you know, just like a totally different way to get together and share something, you know. And like, for artists, like, plenty of people are doing something like that or something similar, and, you know, engaging their fans and having a good time.
Totally. I think that's pretty cool. Is like, that's the weird dynamic, is like, as we're, you know, supposed to be moving farther apart, like, social distancing and everything, it's a lot of artists are getting closer than ever with their bands, or with their fans, I mean, you know.
Because
I watch a bunch of people that are basically broadcasting right from their home, you know, so you've never had that kind of access and connection with an artist than you have now.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's cool.
Awesome. So
go ahead.
No, it's all right. You go.
Oh, I was just saying, humans will learn a few new tricks out of all of this. So, and hopefully, you know, hopefully something good will come from all of this.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there will be some, you know, in a weird way, some cool things that come out of it. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of, you know, painful things, but I think some cool changes will come. You know, and I know you've done something positive. Hope you don't mind me mentioning, but you've quit smoking during this crisis. how's that going for you?
Oh, it's pretty miserable. I mean, I'm like on day 11 now.
Right.
So, it's getting a little bit better, but the being bored all the time, I have to admit there's a lot of, because I'm doing my best to stay in my apartment and, you know, do social distancing and self-quarantine, you know, there's only so much time I can spend reading a book. Like, I am working, but there's still a lot of free time being home all the time. So there's only so much music I could listen to. There's only so many sandwiches I can make,
right.
You know, to keep myself busy. And like, you know, as a smoker, I'm like, okay, I'm bored now. What do? I smoke a cigarette, you know? So like, you know, I constantly find myself reaching into my pocket for my cigarettes and stuff like that. And it's just that whole habit. It's just a really weird time to do it. I, you know, I'm very fortunate. I have a good friend and one of my employees who is sending me like just nasty things about smoking every day, telling me to quit smoking. Nice. And, I have a beautiful girlfriend who, I won't mention her name because she's shy, but who, you know, was very like supportive, you know, and you know, sent me some sent me a note about how she felt about smoking, which I read each time I thought I needed a cigarette. So it was like a good reminder. So, you know, it's like a real weird time to do it, you know, like stressful time. Like, why would you want to create more stress for yourself? But, you know, I'm pretty glad I did it. And, you know, I don't think that smokers, you know, have an advantage, you know, against this virus.
Right. That's right.
So...
That's right. It makes me more indestructible.
Yeah.
By smoking all the time, right? No, it's tough. I mean, I've shared with you before too. I you know, I smoked hardcore, especially like law school was funny. It's like, you know, maybe a law school semester was like 12 weeks, let's say, or whatever. And like, you know, weeks one and two at the halfway break of class, there'd be like, you know, three people outside the school smoking, you know, and as you progressively went through the term, you know, by the last week, the entire class was outside smoking and, you know, along with the professor, you know, so like stressful times, definitely, you know, it's a tough time to quit, but obviously a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy I did it.
So keep it up.
Screw
it. So do you want people to send you positive messages on your Instagram or anything? Are you got it covered? You're good.
Sure. No, sure. Let me give out my cell phone number too.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Well, yeah, no, I like positivity.
That's
so
cool. Awesome. Yeah. So what else do you do for, like, in your spare time when you're not building businesses and, you know, making sandwiches, I guess?
Yeah. So this is probably something I need to work on. Like, I definitely spend a lot of time playing around with business ideas, and I'm not like I would not say that I am like the creative one of the team. You know, I'm more of like I like people's creativity and like putting things together. So I'd say like, hey, my hobby actually is messing around with businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I tend to like, you know, just like to, you know, be with friends and like, you know, try to stay connected to people. Like, I've been doing that even more during this period of time, like, you know, through texting and stuff like that. The only thing that I guess I could also mention, I know that Evan, I always see you with a cool pair of sneakers, like something that has like been a hobby of mine lately is like collecting sneakers. And you know, I know that like sneaker resellers are not like the most popular people in the world, but I enjoy trying to figure out like a sneaker that's going to go up in value, you know, and see if I can buy it like on a StockX or something like that. I do wear a lot of them too, but some of them are just so expensive that I'm like, I'm never going to put this thing on, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of like been a thing. And it's so funny because like there's a couple people in the co-working space that are like also really into sneakers. So that's like kind of been a hobby of mine lately. You know, I'm definitely trying to, keep that one at bay, because right. It's easy to spend money on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hobby for you.
Do you have a prized pair that you haven't worn that you're hanging on to?
I have a pair of the Nike SB Dunk dog walkers,
mm-hmm.
which are pretty cool. And you know, one of the prints on it, or one of the panels on it, looks like my dog's fur, so I really like it, you know. But for the most part, like, you know, I've had a couple like pretty cool pairs, but you know, I've sold them, you know, like they eventually all go up and I'm just like, I'm gonna sell them. But you know, for myself, like, I just, you know, I'm just like, okay, that's a cool color, I'm going to keep that, you know?
Gotcha.
But as long as it doesn't cost a fortune.
Right.
You know?
I wasn't familiar with the dog walkers. I'm just pulling it up online. Those are pretty cool, actually.
It came out. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I see one on StockX for $362 right now. So $355 was the last sale. Interesting. Those are cool looking. What kind of dog you got? Pig?
Oh, he's he's a Australian cattle dog.
Oh, cool. Nice.
A blue heeler. His name's Scout.
Nice.
His name's Scout Boris.
Mm-hmm.
Because he actually lives with my ex now, but me and my ex, she wanted to name him Scout. I wanted to name him Boris, so he just got two names. He's Scout Boris, but
gotcha.
He'll answer to either or.
That's cool. You still have visitation with Scout?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, like, you know, when she goes, like, on vacation or something like that. We don't live too close together, so I don't get to see him as much. But
right.
We're still buddies,
that's
Scout
cool.
and I.
Nice.
So
that's good. Yeah, those are cool. I mean, and you definitely, I've seen you wearing some cool shoes. As well. Recently, I saw a pair of Adidas that I liked. I don't know what those were.
Yeah.
Different color stripes that you had on. I forget what those were. Those are pretty sweet.
For wearing around, like, just regular sneakers, you know? Like, I don't like to... I mean, I got a couple things that are, you know, like, pretty cool. You know, or like resellable, I guess you would say. But for the most part, I just kind of like, you know, buying and trading them, you know, like kind of like guessing what I think something could be,
right.
You know, like resale value.
That's cool. Do you need any Yeezys?
No, I don't actually. But one of the people in the co-working space, his daughter is like very into buying and selling Yeezys.
That's funny.
So
I've tried to score some a couple times. I've never gotten through. I got like the Adidas app and, you know, put in the order, but have never gotten any. I'd probably wear them though, you know, but whatever.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I think, like, and by all means, I'm no, like, expert on sneakers and stuff like that. I'm, like, more of, like, you know, a person that just got into it. Like, you know, I always liked having, you know, like, I always liked buying clothes and sneakers and stuff like that. But this is really, like, something I just kind of got into for fun, like, a year ago or so.
Right.
But... you know, it's tough. Like, you know, there's a whole world of people out there that are pissed about those apps. Like, you know, and being able to actually acquire these things online and how much these things resell for and stuff like that.
Right.
So I've never really gotten a cool pair of sneakers on any of those apps myself. I've had to, you know, buy them, you know, on the resale market for the most part.
Gotcha. That's cool. Yeah, I mean, the sneaker culture is huge. Obviously, I remember recently when they were playing football, not so long ago, even probably in the XFL, I saw it a lot too, is there were some like old school, almost like Jordan reissues as football cleats that were pretty dope. Like, saw a lot of players wearing those. So it is cool to see the stuff coming around. All right. So I appreciate you taking all the time with us. Maybe we just wrap up and talk a little bit about Asbury real quick. Maybe you can sort of talk about what drew you to Asbury Park originally, what it's been like doing business in Asbury and where you see Asbury coming out of like the current situation.
Yeah. So I grew up in Neptune City, went to Neptune High School. In, you know, when I was a teenager, we'd come to Asbury, like, for the Stone Pony matinees,
mm-hmm.
Like, on Sunday afternoon. That was, like, in the 90s. This guy Jacko used to do a lot of matinee shows. You know, through the years, like when I used to play in bands and stuff like that, we used to practice at the Hot Dog House, which is still, you know, over on Cookman and Main Street. And, you know, I've always liked Asbury Park. When Brad and I came here, when we got our first office here, like 2007-ish, I'd say, like, you know, it was still like a cheap place to, you know, get some workspace.
Right.
So, and, you know, there are a few like places to hang out, and, you know, Asbury is for such a long time had like a good place to you know, see bands, like go to shows and stuff like that. So it's just kind of like, there wasn't like any like strategic, like, oh, we're going to, you know, go to Asbury and build a business here. It's just like, you know, at the time, like, that's where we fit, you know? So, it's been cool, like, you know, being around here. Like, I've definitely learned a lot by watching the city change as it has, for better and for worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm glad that we've been able to create a few things here, you know, for... And I feel as if, you know, we've contributed to the community by doing so. So, you know, that's basically how, you know, in the Reader's Digest version of, you know, how we got here and, you know, bringing us up to today.
Right.
There's the two co-works locations. We have Asbury Fresh on Sundays in the summertime and spring and fall down at Kennedy Park. Yeah, there you go.
Cool. And what do you think, any predictions for how Asbury weathers the storm this time around?
Whew. I would hate to be recorded and make some sort of prediction right now, but, you know, you know, I'm going to be optimistic, just like most people want to be. You know, like it's a great town. It's a lot of fun in the summertime. You know, we're if you listen to what people think, you know, how long it's going to take to kind of come past this current crisis, like, you know, that should be leading us into the summertime. And hopefully, like, you know, all these businesses that are in this town that really, you know, their bread and butter comes like in the summertime, like hopefully they're going to have a great summer, you know, and this town in particular will weather this particularly well. That's, you know, that's what I think, but.
That sounds good. I hope it, you know, I hope it's true. Uh-huh. And you're right. It could line up that way. Let's, you know, we'll hope for everyone that, you know, by the summer, we're all getting back to normal, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, I mean, I totally agree with you, like, that, you know, I've experienced and appreciate the contributions you guys have made to this town. I mean, Junction Hall, for anyone that hasn't been there, get over and check it out. There's a new, you know, a cafe downstairs, and Second Life Bikes and office space, you know, once we're back open. You know, so I've benefited from that, and obviously, you know, enjoyed the fresh markets as well. So, you know, I think you guys have definitely contributed to the been a part of what makes Asbury special for sure. So
yeah, cool. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Right on. Thanks for joining us once again, Danny. Check out coworks.com, Asburyfresh.com, coworks.com, CoWerks on Instagram at Asbury Fresh and at Coworks. Danny, you want to give out your, where should people contact you to send quit smoking support?
Oh, they can
just message Coworks.
Oh, what's my Instagram? My Instagram's at best friend Danny.
All right, cool.
So we could be friends, you know, chat, and you know, I'll give you secrets, like, you know, secrets that I know about Evan Ballmer.
That's right. You know? That's cool. How did your name best friend Danny come about anyway?
I was roommates with a couple guys that were both named John, and they had nicknames, Handsome John and Lawyer John. And I think it was Lawyer John was like, you need a nickname. And just said, well, you're going to be best friend Danny. That was like 10 years ago.
Oh, nice.
So nothing really special about it. It was just like, you know, okay. At the time that I created my Instagram account, my nickname was best friend Danny.
Gotcha. That's cool. So. All right. So everyone reach out at best friend Danny, and then definitely support Coworks and Asbury Fresh, you know, any way you can now, and bands on a budget, and especially once the markets fire up again. Danny, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, have a nice day, Evan.
All right, you too. I'll catch you soon. And thanks for checking out this episode of the Mulletcast.
Peace.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.